and it received the scourge of the Almighty.
Who are you? Pat Robertson?
I think I'm offended.
Well, it's like some sort of dreadful apocalyptic wilderness now. Something out of the Book of Revelations. They must have opened up the seventh seal here.
Doc seemed to have lost interest in their conversation, staring intently down at the surface of the water where Dean was playing. Christy caught his attention.
What is it, Doc?
I just suffered from a strange visual distortion. It seems to me that the level of that pool keeps on rising a little, then subsiding. I cannot for the life of me imagine why that should... By the three Kennedys!
Doc suddenly leapt to his feet and rushed down toward the boy.
Dean! Come away from there!
Doc's ancient knee boots slipped on the damp yellow-stained rocks, threatening to send him cascading all the way to the bottom of the large hollow.
Away for your very life!
Huh? Dean stood, looking up at the bizarre sight of the respectable Dr. Tanner leaping toward him like a deranged gazelle, waving his arms, his face red, yelling some kind of warning at him. Dean moved a couple of paces away from the small pool.
What is it, Doc?
Everyone was up on their feet. Doc had nearly reached the boy, his hands outstretched toward him.
Away! Before it blows!
It's a geyser!
Doc had Dean by the hand, tugging him up the slope. The boy still bewildered, resisting the old man.
What's wrong, Doc?
Run, son! A boiling fountain's about to blow up behind you!
Oh, shit!
Abe started toward the couple to try to help, but his feet skidded away from under him, and he fell.
Shit!
Arms spread to try to save himself. Abe was rolling directly toward Doc and Dean, but he managed to grab hold of a spur of rock and pulled himself upright just in time. Ryan looked at the pool. The level was much higher, and it was bubbling and steaming. The surface of the liquid surged and roiled with the unbelievable pressures beneath the earth. Doc was now over halfway toward the crest.
Keep back, friends!
The water in the dark pool was becoming violently agitated, swelling higher, then sinking back for a few heartbeats, then rising again to twice its original height. Ryan had checked quickly where the prevailing wind was, knowing that even a light breeze could carry the boiling droplets for 50 yards or more. Now Doc and the boy were close enough for helping hands to tug them up and over the top.
Father!
They were less than a dozen yards away from the highest point of the rocky bowl. Everyone dove flat, covering their heads, ears, and faces. JB made certain that the Uzi and the Smith & Wesson M4000 were both safely beneath his body. Ryan risked a glance over his shoulder, seeing the great column of boiling water and superheated steam surge upward, at least 150 feet in the air, its top drifting away from them in a small wind. The ground trembled beneath him, hot water splashing all around. Doc's reflexes had been just fast enough to save all of them from what could have been very unpleasant injuries from the geyser, and fast enough, beyond any doubt, to save the life of Dean Carter. Ryan clasped Doc's hand, feeling the way that the old man was shaking from the shock and from the exertion.
Well done, Doc. And thanks.
Dean, soaking wet, was wiping water from his eyes.
You saved my life, Doc.
What friends are for, dear boy.
Looks like we're getting toward the end of this hot springs part.
They'd stopped again, a quarter mile of winding trail farther on. The rad counter was now showing only the palest of yellow, shading toward the green of safety, indicating that the worst of the missiles had fallen very near the coast of California, triggering the quakes and letting in the ocean. Here, much closer to the Sierras, it was cleaner and safer. There was still that deceptive alkaline crust on one side of the trail and bubbling mud on the other, but it really did look as though the rising ground just ahead of them was going to be the end of the bad times. They were strung out in the usual single skirmish line, Ryan taking a turn at the rear, with JB in the lead. The path dog-legged sharply to the right in front of them, around a sulfur-stained bluff with hot water streaming down it. JB suddenly held up a hand, seeing a number of figures running toward him through the mist. Wraiths waving spears and daggers. Simultaneously, Ryan glanced behind, seeing if their line of retreat was open and safe. It wasn't. At least a dozen more men were charging silently, the nearest less than a dozen yards away. It was a perfect ambush.
Scabbies!
The first mutie charged for Ryan. Scabbies were particularly repulsive. They were generally found near new hotspots, combined with some kind of local climate or conditions that had bred the disgustingly hideous skin diseases that gave them their name. They were more intelligent than stickies, without their profoundly perverse love of bright fires and thundering explosions. Scabbies weren't keen on guns, finding them too difficult to use. They preferred to attack with old-fashioned edged and pointed weapons.
Shit!
The scabby leapt in the air, a broad-bladed notched knife clutched in its right hand. Ryan's reflexes took over. Ryan stooped a little, reaching with his left hand for the mutie's right wrist. He locked his fingers and stooped further, pulling the helpless mutie onto his shoulders. Then, straightening at the perfect moment, heaving the scabby high in the air, off to the left of the trail. The trail's alkaline crust was too thin to support the crashing scabby. It plunged right through it, vanishing in an eruption of stone splinters and boiling, hissing water. A second scabby rushed Ryan, lunging at him with a long-shafted spear, its point tied in place with thin strips of rawhide. There was a moment when they were face to face. Every inch of the mutie's skin seemed a festering sore. Flaps of whitened skin were peeling off across its forehead, dangling over the deep-set eyes. The mouth was lipless and toothless, surrounded by a nest of dried craters and fresh yellow boils. One ear was missing, the other hanging loosely from the side of the skull, tethered by a strip of gangrenous gristle. The hands holding the long spear were covered in a scaly golden rash of spots, spreading up the forearms high above the elbows. What hair there was on the head was limp and colorless, pasted flat by the steam in the air around them. Ryan batted the clumsy weapon aside with his left hand, jabbing a vicious punch into the scabby's solar plexus. The mutie doubled up, dropping the spear. He stumbled past Ryan, who chopped down a vicious rabbit punch on the back of his neck with the hardened edge of his right hand as he went by. The mutie went off the opposite side of the trail to his colleague, tumbling headfirst into the deep golden mud, and was swallowed completely.
Holy shit!
JP!
Two more scabbies charged him, undeterred by the awful fate of their two comrades. One of them suddenly stopped, staggered a couple of paces, then fell on his disfigured face. Ryan saw the taped hilt of one of Jack's throwing knives protruding from the scabby's throat. Ryan quickly drew the 18-inch panga from its sheath in a single, smooth, rehearsed action. Cutting from left to right, backhanded, Ryan stopped the nearer scabby, who was armed with a short-hafted axe. The mutie moved back from the intended blow, ducking and trying to slice at Ryan's legs. The one-eyed man swayed away like a dancer, pivoting to his right and using the panga like a long dagger. He stabbed directly at the scabby's neck, but the man was quick, hunching his shoulder, so that he only took a shallow flesh wound at the top of his left arm. The scabby whirled, his ragged clothes fluttering about his scrawny body, fainting toward Ryan's face, then changing the direction of the blow to his hand and wrist. The axe met the panga as Ryan parried, feeling the shudder of the blow run clear up to his shoulder. The gunshot was close behind Ryan.
Got the bastard!
And he saw another of the attackers throw up his arms and topple over onto the crust across the scalding lake. Ryan's opponent was now grinning at him from the leathery mass of corruption that masked his brutish features.
Come, Audi! Come on! Got your Audi heart? Fucking eat it up!
Fuck you!
Beyond his own opponent, Ryan could see that the rest of the scabbies had turned to flee. They started running back along the pathway to disappear into the swirling bank of mist.
Your little ambush has failed, scumbag.
We'll see about that, Audi.
Let me take him, Ryan. The other shitter's broken red. Those that still could.
No, I got this son of a bitch.
You think you're man enough, Audi?
You got that right.
Ah!
Ryan hefted the 18 inches of sharpened steel as if he were about to cut at the scabby's throat, dropping his aim to the groin. As the axe was lowered to counter it, Ryan swung back toward the neck. Confused, Ryan lowered his panga. He soon saw the reason behind his opponent's demise, several yards off.
Damn it, Mildred.
Sorry. Who has time for this? I'm tired. Let's just get out of here.
She's right. Sound of shooting could have been heard. Might be others.
The three scabby corpses lying on the winding path were quickly manhandled over the edge into the seething yellow mud.
Definitely better air.
Christy shared the lead with Ryan on a wider, straighter path. The battle with the muties was close on an hour behind them. Lost in the lower ground of hot springs, geysers, and poisonously yellow mists,